time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
Hey, Thrivers, this is Lee Bockham, and welcome to the Thriveology Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you thrive no matter what life throws your way. Right now, we're in the middle of a series, and that series is 15 things that thrivers do differently. What is it that helps people to learn to thrive? I really believe that any process of success leaves a trail, and thriving also leaves a trail, and it leaves a trail followed by people so that you can find those thriving moments. You can watch people as they're thriving and learn how to replicate their results. And so as we go through these 15 pieces, you'll recognize some skills, some places where you can learn to thrive more. Our first piece of that was thrivers recognize that a thought is a thought. Now, I don't mean to minimize thoughts, that they are major pieces of our lives. It's what rules our day. It's what's constantly going through our minds. But sometimes we forget that that's just what a thought is. We give it too much status. We make it reality. So the first thing that happens is that thrivers recognize a thought as a thought. And because of that, thrivers can also do the next piece of accepting what is. Instead of trying to recreate where they are in life and what's going on, thrivers are able to accept that they are where they are. They're accepting what is in their life. That gives them an opportunity of using that as the beginning point. Some people say, well, if I accept where I am, I've given up. And my response is that accepting where you are, it gives you the true starting point of beginning to build a new life. And so wherever you are, saying this truly is where I am, now where do I want to go, is different than saying, wow, this is where I am, I'm just stuck here forever. But accepting that instead of fighting against it begins to build a platform for the rest of the thriving pieces. And so today I want to talk about the next piece. Today I want to talk about the fact that thrivers forgive quickly. Thrivers forgive quickly because they understand something about forgiveness that many of us don't recognize. And that is that forgiveness is for you. When you forgive somebody, when you choose to forgive, you're doing it for yourself, not primarily for the other person. Now, it may be helpful for the other person. It may give them some room to understand themselves differently, but it's not primarily for them. The problem is, in our culture, we're stuck with these remnants of bad ideas about forgiveness. I want you just for a moment to think back on what you learned about forgiveness and where you learned it. You may have learned it in a religious kind of context where you have to forgive, that the pressure is on to forgive rather than you have the option to forgive, that you have the gift of forgiveness, that you have the choice to forgive. And when we feel that pressure, then sometimes we feel like it's a have to, not a want to. That begins to set the stage also in our culture for the fact that people say, I shouldn't have to forgive that. They did that to me, not recognizing that that is the exact reason they want to forgive, so that you can move away from those painful points. It's one of those myths of forgiveness that we're going to talk about in just a few minutes. But I remember my first moments of forgiveness, and it was forced forgiveness. I remember that my brother and I had gotten into yet another scuffle. Mother would probably tell you that we were a lot like bear cubs. We were 18 months apart, and we often were in scuffles. And so I remember that moment, and I'm sure there had been some before that, but that moment when my father had me by the scruff of the neck and my brother by the scruff of his neck, and he forced each of us to apologize to the other, and then each of us to also extend our forgiveness to the other. So I was standing there by the scruff of my neck, and my father said, you need to say you're sorry. So I said, I'm sorry. And my brother said the same. And then he said, you need to say you're forgiven. And I said, oh, you're forgiven. And so did my brother. But we didn't mean it, right? We didn't have that sense of forgiveness in our heart because we'd been forced to do it instead of recognizing that that was an option. We could choose to do it. So what is forgiveness? Well, that's one of the difficult things. It's such a loaded word that sometimes when I say, you know, that thrivers know how to forgive, people will say, well, you shouldn't have to do that. That forgiveness is something that somebody has to earn. And that's where I want to redefine what forgiveness is about here. Forgiveness is choosing to let go of the impact of an event. It's offering yourself the opportunity to regain the energy lost in holding on to the hurts, the slights, the pains of events that have happened to you. And you can pin that on to somebody else, but it's really about letting go of what's happened and letting go of the energy invested in what's happened. I recognize that when I don't forgive, I'm putting lots of energy into holding on to that, much more so than if I choose to forgive and I choose to walk away from that. So this somewhat raises the question of why we don't choose to forgive. Why is it that we have gotten to this place where forgiveness is kind of a logjam in many people's lives? Well, I think there are two primary reasons. There are some other reasons, but the two primary reasons is this misunderstanding. It's a cultural piece that we misunderstand what the power of forgiveness is and what forgiveness is really about. We've made forgiveness for the other person. We've somehow converted it from something I can do to free myself to something I do for this other person that leaves me on the losing end. And that's a cultural piece. That's an idea that we've kind of pulled into our culture. And so when I talk to people about what's forgivable, they can always come up with things that are unforgivable. And that tells me that when they are thinking through it, they're thinking about forgiveness as something that's for the other person. I also think there's a secondary reason, and that's that it's in our wiring, that somewhere in our evolutionary process, we have this detection system for threats. And so every creature that moves around has this threat process where you're trying to look and scan the environment to see what's a threat. The difference is we humans can hold on to it and use it as a way of kind of making the other person the bad guy, making the other person the threat itself. Instead of seeing the other person as kind of human, we make them into the threat piece. In that process, we've allowed that wiring from evolution to push us into this idea that we've got to hold on to every hurt, every slight, every pain that's been caused to us, and to hold that against the person that caused it. And by doing that, it allows us to feel that we're managing our threats. What we're really doing is piling in threats that are really no longer there and really are making us more and more of the victim rather than the careful person that has some way of managing the threats outside of them. These two pieces, that cultural misunderstanding and the wiring in your head, is what we have to overcome by understanding the true nature of what forgiveness truly is. So let's talk some about what happens when you don't forgive, because that's what happens many times. People find themselves at this place where they know that something's got them stuck, but they don't know what to do about it. And so what does happen when you choose not to forgive those hurts, those pains from the past? Well, number one, it leaves you stuck in anger. You see, anger is a secondary emotion. It's the outward expression of inward hurt. And so part of what happens is that we have all this energy, and you can think about how this energy gets caught up in you just by thinking about something that you're upset about, that maybe someone did something to you and it kind of keeps popping in your head. Notice what happens in your body. Notice the energy that gets caught up into that. Notice the energy that begins to pull into this anger feeling. Now that anger can become resentment, which is really just the unprocessed anger, which is really just the unprocessed hurt. And what you recognize is how much energy goes into that maintaining that. When forgiveness is really saying, I'm going to let go of that hurt. And when you do that, when you say, you know, I'm not going to allow that to continue to hurt me, the anger dissipates, the resentment goes away. When you don't forgive, though, it leaves you stuck in that anger spot. Number two is that when you don't forgive, it leaves you as the victim, because in the story of what happened, when people tell the story, if they're finding something to not forgive, they're finding themselves to be the victim, that something was done to them. And it almost kind of plays out that country music song in their head, some country music song about someone done them wrong and how they have to hold on to that and can't let go of it, and how you got to hold this person responsible for that forever. Now, there is a difference between holding someone responsible and forgiving, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, but it leaves you as a victim when you refuse to forgive. The third thing it does is it leaves you, or relieves you, from responsibility. Instead of giving you the option of how you respond differently, you're the victim, And so responsibility is on the other person for fixing things rather than saying, how are you capable of moving forward? How are you capable of changing the direction that's coming? Responsibility is the ability to respond, and we'll talk about that in a future piece of this, but it gives you the option of how you choose to move away from this. When you're stuck in that victim place, you don't see how you have any responsibility, any ability to respond because it's been done to you. So those are three of the pieces that happen when we don't forgive and keeps us stuck in this process where we can't move forward. We can't find a new direction, a new way to move forward. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about these myths of forgiveness, because sometimes these myths are what keep you stuck. You know, you have this idea of what forgiveness is about that really holds you back from experiencing what true forgiveness is about. So the first myth is that there's this idea of forgive and forget, that that's the same process. When you're forgiving someone, you've got to forget what happened. Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe it's possible to do that. I don't believe you can simply say, well, I'll forget that that happened. But I do believe that you can remember it differently. And that doesn't mean you remember the circumstances differently, but you might remember the justification behind it and the actions of the other person and where that other person was coming from, and also where you were in that process, and remember it differently. So you don't have to forget it in order to forgive, but you might understand the circumstances around it in a very different and very profoundly different way that transforms that process within you. So forgive and forget is not what we're talking about. We're talking about letting go of the process and understanding differently, understanding yourself differently, understanding the circumstances differently, and understanding the other person differently. The second myth I see is that forgiveness is the same as reconciliation. And I think those are two very separate processes. You can forgive somebody and have nothing to do with them going forward, or you could forgive somebody and choose to decide how you're going to enter back into the relationship. You might change what that relationship looks like, and you might create boundaries to protect yourself in the future, but you can have a different way of moving forward. Forgiveness is about letting go. Reconciliation is about reconnecting with the other person. Forgiveness is an intrapersonal process. In other words, it happens inside of you. It's an internal process that goes on within you. It has nothing to do with the other person. While reconnecting and reconciliation is interpersonal, it's relational. You do it in relationship to the other person. The difference here is profound, because let's say that something has happened to you in the past that you're holding on to that you can't forgive, and yet that other person is not around to have a conversation with. It's not, their person is not around to ask for forgiveness. That person is not around to have any contact with you, or maybe you don't even want to have contact with that other person. In the forgiveness process, that doesn't matter, because you don't need that other person in order to let go of what's happened, in order to let go of the energy around that, and in order to find forgiveness in the process. Okay, the third myth of forgiveness is that there are some things that are unforgivable. Now, this is a very interesting one for me, because I've talked about this so many times in workshops and other places that it's interesting to watch the process, because when I first posed the idea that forgiveness is for yourself, not for the other person, a lot of people can jump on board with that. And so then as I continue the process, I start asking the question, so what do you think is unforgivable? And I make a list on the board, and people will come up with horrific things, horrific actions that people could do to other people, and particularly horrific actions towards children. So they have this list of unforgivable. And I point out the fact that there is a difference between what I just said and the framework that they're using. Because if you say, I can forgive and let go of that for me so that I can move forward, it doesn't matter what the other person has done. You can find forgiveness because it's disconnected from any action on the other person. It doesn't help the other person. An example I often use in this process of forgiveness is if you remember that Pope John Paul was shot, and after he was shot, after he recovered, the person that shot him was in prison, and the Pope went to prison and offered forgiveness to this person who had shot him. And when the Pope left, he left the person in jail, that there was a place to understand that while he could forgive, that there were still consequences to that, because he recognized that there is a disconnection between forgiveness and the other person. He didn't have to worry about what was going on with the other person. More than that, there was nothing that's unforgivable because it's for the person doing the forgiving. When we are clear about that reasoning, that forgiveness is for the person who chooses to forgive, not for the person who had that action, then we recognize that suddenly everything is forgivable because we choose to take that on, that that's an option we have. Which leads us to the last myth, that forgiving is seen as a weakness, that it's about giving in, knuckling under, and letting the other person off the hook. It's kind of a weak act. I see it as quite the opposite, that when people choose to forgive, they're taking back their strength, they're taking back their power, and they're giving up that stuck point of victimhood. They're giving back all the things that have held them hostage so long, and so it really is coming from a place of strength. We see it as a weakness, and yet I would say that the process of forgiveness moves someone into a place of strength and courage and away from the weakness and victimhood that comes without that. Now, that raises the question of exactly what is the process of forgiveness, because we've murkied the water so much that oftentimes people don't have a way of understanding how to move forward and how to forgive somebody, how to forgive for what's happened to them. So let me propose a way of doing that, a way you can move forward, a step-by-step process. Now, this is a pretty straightforward process, a pretty simple process. I just want you to be clear that there is a difference between simple and easy. A lot of times we find things that are very direct, and yet they're not very easy to get through. It gives us some challenges. And the biggest challenges for this whole piece about forgiving is our own blocks, how we stop ourselves from the process. So as you work through this, recognize that part of what you're doing is retraining your mind, retraining your thought process to get it to the place where you are kind of in a process of forgiveness on a constant basis, that you're able to move through this faster and faster. The more practice we have, the more times that you walk through the process of actually forgiving, the easier it is, because you find it's easier to let go each time. So let's work through this process step by step. Okay, so step one is to see the other person as a human. That means to see them as flawed, as making mistakes, as doing the best they can, but often falling short of what they would like to be and what they would like to do. Now, this is what is called building empathy, right? So as you build empathy, you get an inside understanding of what's true about this other person. It takes away the stereotypes, it takes away the assumptions, and moves us to seeing the other person through fairly clear eyes, of seeing them as a human, and all humans are fallible and fall short. So when we decide to see the other person as human, we build empathy. Now, I want to caution you about the attribution error. The attribution error is the term in psychology for the fact that if I do something wrong, I will see that I've made a mistake. But if you do something wrong, I'm going to see that you have a character flaw within you. So while I see the character flaw in you, I let myself off the hook. And this really gets in the way of our forgiveness process, because we quickly see ourselves as just simply a mistake. But the other person, there's something just wrong to their core, and that keeps us stuck. So to understand that attribution error is to see that you make mistakes, and so do other people, that we all make mistakes. So step number one is to simply decide to see the other person as human and to accept that there are mistakes that were made and that they are probably not living up to what they would even expect of themselves. Just make them human. That's step one. See the other person as human. Now, step number two is to decide to forgive. Now notice, until you see this other person as just human, as fallible and falling short, it's going to be hard to get to the next point, because the next point is deciding you want to forgive and deciding you can forgive. So it's a decision to forgive. When you make this decision, it's just that. It's just a decision at this point. There's nothing that's actually happened in the process. You're at the beginning point. You're beginning to build the process up. And so it's simply a decision. No action, just a decision. I decide to forgive. What happens when you do that, though, is you reclaim your personal power, where when something happens to you and you hold on to it, you give up your personal power to this other person because you keep playing it out in your mind. You may have heard the phrase that not forgiving someone is like swallowing poison and waiting for the other person to die. And that's that process where you lose control. You've taken it in yourself. You've taken in that poison yourself of choosing not to forgive. And in the process, all that you've done is poison your own system. So when you decide to forgive, you reclaim your personal power. If you cannot forgive, you have given up control and you have pretended that that is control. Sometimes we hold on to these things and choose not to forgive and act as if that is our power. What I like to think of is that the awareness happens that we realize that not forgiving is injuring ourselves. Imagine that you're walking down the road and somebody hits you with a rock. It might have been on purpose. It might have been an accident, but that sharp rock hits you and hurts you. And so what you do next is you pick up that rock and you hold it tightly in your hands and you say, I refuse to let that go. Well, in the process of holding tightly onto that rock, it's cutting into your own hand even further than that first injury. In the meantime, that person has continued to walk away. They're not stuck. They're not waiting for you to let go. They walk away from the process. And so in the process of just deciding to forgive, you're reclaiming that personal power. You're taking back control and choosing where you're going to go forward, which brings us to step number three, which is about breathing. Step number three is to breathe through the memories and let them pass. There's no need to process or pick them apart. Now, when I talk about breathe, I'm talking about belly breaths. If you're not familiar with this idea of a belly breath, it's the way we're naturally built to breathe. And it's the way you're trained to breathe when you are doing meditation or yoga, or even when you're singing or playing a musical instrument. It's where you breathe through your stomach, not your chest. Part of what happens when we get under pressure, when we have pressured situations, when we have fear running through us, which is part of what the process is about when we choose not to forgive, is that we put ourselves into a fight or flight mode, and we can override our brain's natural tendencies to go there by going back to the belly breathing. If you're not familiar with it, a very simple way of discovering this is to lie down on something flat, a couch, a floor, your bed, and put a hand over your breastbone and a hand over your belly button. And as you breathe, you want the only hand to move be the hand over your belly button. And as you master that, as you figure out how to make that happen, you have discovered the power of belly breathing. So when a memory comes back from that event where you felt so injured, where you're holding on to that event, those memories come in and we breathe through them. Because my belief is that our mind really is designed to let those things go. And we hold on to them and kind of violate our own mind natural rhythms. And we hold on to them and we pull them out. That kind of relates back to that first piece about a thought is a thought. And as we have this memory of what happened to from some injury in the past, all we're doing is taking a thought from the past into the present. And if we recognize that thought is probably a bit flawed, probably a bit out of context of reality, we can begin to accept that even as we experience that memory, we can let it go. We can process it through simply by breathing it through. As we breathe our belly breathing, the memory is allowed to pass and it leaves our body, it leaves our mind, and it allows us to return to a normal state. So there's no need to process or pick apart what happened. There's no need to think about what that event was about. We just allow those memories to go on. As we do that, we begin to allow the healing that happens in our psyche when we're not holding those pieces in and not trying to pull them apart and micromanage those memories and pick them to the smallest little details. So step number four is to accept the lessons from the incident, but allow the hurt to evaporate. As you release those memories, as they come and you release them and choose not to hold on to them, then you're allowing the hurt to evaporate, but there are some lessons to be learned. And sometimes those lessons are, I need to keep myself away from that type of person. Sometimes the lessons are about how you need to manage different situations, the decisions that you make, the places that you might put yourself into, the ways you allow the hurts to come into your life. So we begin to learn lessons there. And as we learn lessons, we put something at risk. And that is that we're no longer a victim. Now we are part of the process of restoring ourselves and regaining our personal power. so that whatever happens, we have a way to move through it again. So step number 4 is to accept the lessons from the incident, but allow the hurt to evaporate, allow it to go naturally away. Step number 5 is to accept your role and use that as a point of potential change and growth. Now, I'm not saying that every bad thing that happens when somebody does something mean or bad to you, that it's your fault that you're there, but it's important to accept your role in that process, even if that role is, I've chosen to hang on to this for far too long. That's a role in that, but sometimes we do put ourselves in situations where we have made ourselves to be at a point of danger. And so accepting our responsibility is stepping back and looking to say, where did I play a role? Sometimes you'll come up with, I played no role. I need to learn the lesson afterwards to let it go quicker. And sometimes you can look back and say, wow, I created an association with somebody that wasn't safe. I put myself in a situation that wasn't safe. I created the circumstances where it wasn't safe. And you begin to see that there are times when the hurts that happen are at least involved with us, that we at least have a step in that process, a piece of the puzzle. Now, that's a very difficult place to go, but a necessary place of growth to recognize that there may be a place for you to learn a new way of being so that this doesn't happen again, so that there is something for you to learn from this process. And then step number 6 is to reinforce your choice to forgive. Because what happens is we are easily drawn back into that place of saying, I'm not going to forgive. I'm not going to let that go. I'm going to hold on to it. And we revert back to that fight flight place where it feels safer to hold on to it than to risk the freedom of letting it loose. And so you have to reinforce and remind yourself to forgive, remind yourself to let go, remind yourself to move forward. Sometimes that means that you need to create new personal boundaries for yourself, something that we'll talk about at another time. And sometimes what it reminds us of is the fact that these little hurts in life, sometimes we hit a reminder down the road. We thought we were done with it, and suddenly some memory comes back and we have to reprocess that again to breathe through it and allow it to go again. So recognize that this static pattern is not so static after all, that going through the stages is not just going from 1 to 6, but it might be repeating through the process. You might re-decide to forgive. You might have to breathe through memories as they arrive again. You might have to re-examine this person and see them as human, accept the lessons, to accept your role and responsibilities, and again reinforce your decision to forgive. So how do you reinforce that decision to forgive? You accept the fact that forgiveness is a way that frees you. As long as we can't get rid of this place, this myth that somehow forgiveness is protection, then we're frozen in place. But when we can accept that the way forward is forgiveness, the way to restore ourselves is forgiveness, the way to find a new path in the world is forgiveness. It may not include that other person, but it allows us to move forward without being encumbered by the pains or the hurts of the past, and allows us to freely move into new directions and new connections with people. Forgiveness is not about forgetting. Forgiveness is not about letting the other person off the hook. Forgiveness is not even for the other person. It's for you. It's accepting that people make mistakes. It's accepting that people do bad things, and accepting that you do not have to be prisoner of what's happened to you. You don't have to be prisoner of those hurts and pains in the past. You simply have to decide to let them go in the past, learn the lessons, move forward with a renewed place of who you are and what you need to be in the world. And as you do that, you master the skill of thriving that is forgiving quickly and deciding to move forward by letting go of what's happened. This is Lee Balcom wishing you a thriving life as you follow the path of other thrivers.
You've been listening to the Thriveology Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at Thriveology.com or at ThriveologyMagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled Thriveology. It's your life. Time to live it. Thank you.